Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's sermon, by God's grace, is going to give us some circumspection, some insight as to whether we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, whether we are headed in the right direction, whether we are on the right path in life, whether we are a true servant of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. Let us start today's examination in Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 30, some 60. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if you're wondering what he's talking about, the disciples wondered the same thing. And thankfully, they asked him, and it is recorded here. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For everyone who has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." And we'll come back to that. But he explains this parable. And this is Jesus explaining the parable. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. So we don't have to wonder what this parable means. We know what it means. Jesus tells us what it means. He goes out of his way to explain it. If Jesus takes the time to tell us a parable and then explain what it means, we probably should pay attention. But I was struck by this much earlier this week, and as soon as I got struck with this by the Holy Spirit, I said, "That's a sermon." There are many categories here, but there are really only two, I think, because only one is what we should be striving for: the seed that fell on good ground. Notice, the seed that fell on good ground produced a crop. It was fruitful. It bore fruit. Now, to different degrees, some 100, some 60, some 30, but they all bear fruit. Let's not forget Jesus' other teaching where he says a tree is known by its fruit. And he says in another place, "By their fruits you shall know them." Notice there's no category here where a seed just falls and then grows up and matures and that's it, and it just lives its life. There are many categories here. Those who fall by the wayside, those who get choked out by the thorns, those who get distracted and get pulled away by sin and by coveting the things of this world. There are many categories there, but they all are the ones that don't bear fruit. They're all the seed that falls on less than ideal ground. All the ones that fall on good ground, all the ones in the category you want to be in, they bear a crop for the kingdom. They multiply. The least category there is 30, some 100, some 60, some 30. Now, hopefully I don't have to explain to you which category you want to be in. You want to be in the seed on good ground. I often pray this. This parable speaks to me. I say, God, let me be planted in good ground. Keep me in good soil. I pray to be the seed planted in good ground. I don't want to be in any of those other categories. None of those other categories are good. There are many other categories, but you don't want to be in any of them. You want to be planted on good ground. There is no lukewarm, mediocre category here. There is no semi-okay, semi-sandy, clayish soil that you can just live in and not do anything and just be there. No, there's good ground. There's the crop that's planted on good ground, the seed that falls on good ground that bears, that multiplies many times. And there's all the other ones that die out. So be circumspect. Have some self-examination. As is written in Romans 12, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Are you bearing fruit? Are you on good soil? Or are you in one of these other categories getting choked out by the cares of this world? Are you on the wayside? Do you not understand the word of God? Are you on a stony place? He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet there is no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. We are told in this world we will have troubles, we will have trials, we will have tribulations. John 15, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me first. And John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Some translations say tribulation, and I can attest to that. In this world you will have trials, you will have tribulation. It doesn't say you're in this category of the stony places if you have those. In this category, if you have no roots and you stumble away, you leave because you have no root in yourself. You have no fortitude. You have lack of endurance. Now, this podcast is not about me, but I can certainly attest that Christian persecution is alive and well in this time. I have lost jobs for being a Christian where they told me I couldn't practice my faith today in America. That I had to choose, and you guess what I chose, even though they were very good jobs. I chose Christ. One day we're all going to die and stand before the judgment seat. You know what's not going to get you to heaven? Whatever job that you had or didn't have. Being planted on good soil, being a sheep rather than a goat, having a root in yourself, having fortitude. We all have trials and tribulations. Did Jesus say a hard teaching, but if you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. I've lost family that I love, people dearer to me than any in this world, but not dearer to me than God. Matthew 10, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You might not hear that preached a lot. It's a hard teaching. as I've lived through it. You can't love anything more than Jesus. You always choose God first. Greatest of all the commandments, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God always gets chosen first. Before father, before children. You may lose family because you choose Christ, you choose to be a Christian, and they are not, and they don't want anything to do with you. You may lose family because another family is sinning and have dominion over people that you love. But as Jesus says about Judas Iscariot, what is that to you? You follow me. Whatever the situation is, you always choose to follow Christ. You always choose God. You always choose Jesus above anyone or anything. Simple, powerful, hard teaching. Notice there are many categories here that you don't want to be in. There's only one that you want to be in. Notice there are many more categories than there are the ones that are planted on good soil. Reminds me of, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you want to be in the many or do you want to be in the few? You shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be kedoshim, for I am kadosh. Set apart, not common. There are few. You want to be in that select few, that elite. Another category. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Sadly, we can look around today at today's culture, driven by consumerism. I was in a place of business yesterday and a horrible song came on the radio. The Madonna's "We're Living in a Material World and I Am a Material Girl." What a horrible song. But really, culture, we've become so commercial and so deceived by the evil one that riches and things like that are going to fulfill your life and make you happy. Naked you came into this world and naked you're going to go out of this world. Whatever you have in this life, material-wise, you're not taking it with you. We're deceived by culture, by greed, by covetive natures. And we're so sought after by marketing firms and commercialism, telling if we just have that next shiny thing, it's going to make us happy. If we just have this brand of shoe or this car, as men, then the women are just going to flock in front of us. And somehow that's going to make us happy. Or this is the new thing that's in fashion. You got to have this thing. This new thing on the market is so much better than the thing that's virtually identical to it that's been around for years. What does Jesus say about the rich man? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it's hard. I'll admit it's hard in this life to not get distracted by riches. The shiny trinkets of Babylon. Vanity Fair, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress. Many people go that way. It's hard to stay on the narrow path, to stay focused on what's really important. All the other stuff is just a distraction. It's okay to have stuff. It's okay, obviously. You're in this world. You have physical earthly needs. But don't let them take the place of what's really important, of God, of Jesus Christ, who needs to be at the center of your life. The Ten Commandments start, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now we know that the law that was given for our good. Only one thing is truly going to make you happy. Only one thing is to be worshipped. And that's God. It's not whatever trinket. It's not whatever materialism. It's not whatever. You can make anything almost an idol. Doesn't have to be a golden calf. It could be that thing that you covet and put at the center of your life and work for and care about more than God. God needs to be at the top, at the center. And I pray that often too, and I pray that you pray that, that you don't let anything push God out of the center of your life. That you don't trade him for all the riches of Babylon. Naked you came into this world, and naked you're going to go out of this world. How does a rich man die? Like a poor man. I'd encourage you to read the first couple of chapters of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. As far as earthly standards go, the richest and wisest man that ever lived. Does he say about all the shiny things? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I'm not telling you not to have things or enjoy the blessings God's given you. I'm telling you don't care about the things you're given more than the one who blesses you with everything. You exist because he made you. You have because he gives it to you, because he allows you to have it. He permits it. You only draw a breath because he allows you to draw a breath. Don't ever care about anyone or anything more than God. Now let us circle back to what I said we'd get back to in the beginning. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But he who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Notice, there's no middle ground here. To he who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But he who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. There's no middle ground. Just like parable. And this is right in between the parable he tells and his explanation of it. You're either on good ground, bearing a crop, bearing fruit, or you're not. Now Jesus, he says these words again in a parable of its own later in the same book in Matthew. You may recall the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look here, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now notice, in this category also, there is no lukewarm. You're either growing the talents, you're either bearing fruit, or you're not. One who did nothing and just went and hid the talent in the ground and didn't use it, what happened to him? It didn't turn out well for him, did it? Revelation. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Are you warm? Are you hot? Are you on fire for the kingdom of God? Do you burn with passion for God? Do you love God more? More than the riches, more than the distractions of Babylon? Do you love him more? Does his love outweigh the fear of the things and the trials and the tribulations of this world? Because they will come. Are you choosing the easy, broad path, like the many, or the narrow, difficult paths, like the few, God's chosen, his elect, holy, set apart, special? But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now a prayer I hope you will pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, let me be planted on good soil. Lord, in Jesus' name, strengthen me so that nothing will push you out of the center of my life. Father, I pray in Jesus' name to bear more fruit for you and to bring glory to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. With that, I want to say thanks for listening to Simple Man Sermons. I am truly humbled that God chose to create me at all and that he chooses to use me, and I get to be a part of that. You shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. If you want to support, you can go to goodshepherdtraining.com. There'll be ways to support on there. God willing, we'll get together soon. Be strong, have a blessed day, and a blessed week. Amen.